So imagine you're sitting down at your desk, right? You open a blank file and you just type, build me a fully functional blog platform with a database, secure user logins, and an admin dashboard.
Just right there in plain English.
Exactly. Plain English. You hit enter, you walk away to grab a coffee, and when you come back like 15 minutes later, you have a completed, ready to launch app.
It honestly sounds like a pitch for a sci-fi movie.
Right. It really does.
Yeah.
But today, we're doing a deep dive into an excerpt from a 2026 tech guide, and it's called The Architect's Manual, Mastering Agentic AI Coding in 2026. And, well, this manual makes it very clear that the scenario I just described is, it's not science fiction at all.
No, not even a little bit. It is a highly documented $4.2 billion market reality right now in 2026.
Wow. $4 billion.
Yeah, and we're looking at a landscape where 73% of professional developers are using these autonomous tools every single day to build software.
I mean, 73%, that is a staggering number.
Mm-hmm.
And to really grasp what this manual is telling us, we have to look at the massive shift that happened between the early days of AI coding and, well, where we are right now.
Yeah, the paradigm shift.
Right. The source focuses heavily on the transition from simple AI to something it calls agentic AI.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone listening who, you know, remembers the hype around those early tools a few years ago, how is this new wave actually different?
So the early versions of AI coding tools, like, think back to 2023 or 2024, they were essentially just very smart autocomplete.
Like when your phone guesses the next word in a text.
Exactly like that, but for code. You still had to be in the trenches, right? Opening up a specific file, typing out a function, and the AI might, you know, predict the next line of code for you.
So it was helpful, but you were still doing the heavy lifting.
Oh, absolutely. It was a fantastic hammer, but you were still the one swinging it brick by digital brick. But agentic AI, it completely flips that dynamic.
Because of the agency part.
Right. The word agentic implies agency. So these systems, they don't just guess your next word. They actually decide on an action. They formulate a multi-step plan, and then they execute it autonomously across an entire complex project.
I love the analogy the manual uses, or, well, how I kind of internalized it. It's really the difference between having a spell checker that just fixes your typos,
yeah,
and, like, hiring a general contractor.
Oh, that's a perfect way to look at it.
Because you hand the contractor a blueprint, and they go out, they hire the plumbers, they bring in the electricians, and they build the whole house while you just focus on the big picture.
And that captures the exact shift in human capital that this manual is really trying to highlight. The human role has fundamentally transitioned from coder to architect.
Hence the title of the manual.
Exactly. You are no longer bogged down in writing boilerplate plumbing. Your energy is now strictly deployed for high-level architecture, complex business logic, and just overall strategy.
And the manual gives a really concrete example of this that I think will resonate with anyone who has ever built an app. It talks about adding an authentication system, you know, handling user logins and passwords.
Oh, yeah. Historically, that is a universally dreaded task. It's so tedious.
Right. And if you use those early AI autocomplete tools, you were still manually opening the database files, the security files, the front end forms. The guide says it would still take 2 to 3 hours of manual supervision.
But when you deploy the agentic AI tools of 2026, the timeline just collapses entirely. Like, a tool like Cursor can implement that entire secure login system across your app in about 15 to 20 minutes.
Wait, from a single prompt?
From a single prompt.
I'll get that.
And then there's another tool called Windsurf that goes even further. It handles the entire process in like 10 to 15 minutes.
That's insane.
And it's not just writing the code. Windsurf actually jumps into the command line to install the necessary packages and migrates your database automatically.
So, okay. If developers are suddenly freed from writing that tedious plumbing and are purely focused on architecture, the amount of software a single person can produce must be, well, astronomical.
It really is.
So how is that translating to the bottom line for these major tech companies? Because I'll be honest, the economic claims in this manual, they seem a little wild.
I know they do. But we are seeing an average productivity gain of 55% across the board.
55%. Really?
Yeah. And the manual backs this up with actual ROI metrics from early adopters. So Shopify, for example, they slashed their feature development time by 42% after adopting these tools company-wide.
Wow, almost cutting it in half.
Right. And Vercel, they took their average bug fix time from 4 hours down to just 45 minutes.
There's a massive bottleneck just gone.
Absolutely. And then Stripe, they cut their new engineer onboarding process in half, dropping it from 3 months to just 6 weeks.
Okay, let me Let me push back on those numbers for a second, just putting myself in the shoes of our listener.
Mm-hmm.
A 55% gain in output sounds incredible in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
But is that actually sustainable? Or are we just watching companies use AI to churn out thousands of lines of sloppy, unoptimized code and essentially creating massive mountains of technical debt faster than ever before?
See, that is the exact skepticism a good architect needs to have. And I mean, it's a major concern in the industry right now.
Because bad code is still bad code, even if it's written fast.
Exactly. But the source material points to a widening productivity gap that makes this whole thing unavoidable. Back in 2024, an AI-assisted developer was maybe, 20 to 30% faster than a traditional developer.
Which is a nice boost, but not world-changing.
Right. But in 2026, that gap has exploded to 50 to 60%. So yes, code quality requires rigorous oversight, which, by the way, is a massive part of this manual. But the sheer velocity of shipping features is undeniable.
So you basically can't afford to ignore it.
You really can't. If a company decides to sit this out because they are afraid of technical debt, the reality is their competitors will simply outship them. They'll release more features and just completely crush them in the market.
So it's an adapt or die scenario. It's a strict business imperative. And if adopting this tech is mandatory, I mean, we need to talk about what tools these companies are actually deploying.
Yeah, the landscape is pretty fascinating right now.
The source material spends a lot of time breaking down this massive rivalry between two heavyweights, Cursor and Windsurf. So let's unpack Cursor first.
So Cursor took a really brilliant strategic path. It's essentially a fork of VS Code, which, as you know, is the most popular code editor in the world.
Right. Everyone uses VS Code.
Exactly. By doing that, they ensured that if you already use VS Code, all of your extensions, your color themes, your keyboard shortcuts, they all port over instantly.
Oh, nice. So zero friction to adopt it.
Zero friction. And it's backed by the AnySphere team out of MIT, so it has serious academic and financial muscle behind it.
Now, the guide highlights a specific feature for Cursor that sounds incredibly powerful. It's called the 200,000 token context window.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So for the listener who might not be deep in the weeds of large language models, what does a 200,000 token context window actually allow this AI to do?
Okay, think of a token as basically a fraction of a word. So 200,000 tokens translates to roughly 150,000 words.
That sounds like a whole novel.
It is. Practically speaking, this means Cursor can load your entire code base, every single file, every function, every database schema into its short-term memory all at once.
So it's not just guessing blindly.
No, not at all. When it suggests new code, it isn't guessing in a vacuum. It actually understands your specific architecture, your company's weird naming conventions, and your custom libraries.
Oh, it makes so much sense.
Yeah. It writes code that perfectly mimics your established style.
Which explains why the code actually works right out of the box.
Well,
but here is where the manual gets into something that feels truly revolutionary to me. Cursor has a feature called Background Cloud Agents.
Oh, this is where it gets crazy.
The guide describes this as having multiple junior AI developers working for you simultaneously while you sleep. I mean, how does that mechanically function?
It fundamentally changes your day-to-day workflow. Imagine you're working on designing the front-end user interface of an app.
Okay. Moving buttons around, picking colors.
Exactly. While you are tweaking those buttons and colors, you can open a chat window and tell one of Cursor's background cloud agents to go refactor a messy legacy database on the back end.
Wait, at the same time?
At the exact same time. And you can tell a second agent to go write a comprehensive testing suite for your payment portal.
That is wild.
Cursor literally spawns secure instances on cloud servers, sends those AI agents off to do the heavy lifting, and they operate completely autonomously in the background.
So you've essentially become a project manager.
You have. You're assigning tickets to a team of tireless digital juniors while you just focus on the UI.
That is mind-bending. You're basically multiplying yourself. Okay, so that's the Cursor camp.
Yeah.
On the other side of the ring, we have the challenger, which is Windsurf. And they were recently acquired by Cognition AI for $250 million, right?
Yeah, huge acquisition.
And their entire claim to fame seems to be just raw, unadulterated speed.
Speed is absolutely their moat. Windsurf operates on specialized hardware, specifically Cerebras chips, running a custom model called SWE 1.5.
Okay, so custom hardware and software.
Right. And because of that architecture, Windsurf hits a staggering 950 tokens per second.
Which the manual points out is about 5 times faster than Cursor.
It is, and it completely changes the way you interact with the software. I mean, if Cursor takes 10 seconds to generate a massive complex file, Windsurf does it in 2 seconds.
Which doesn't sound like a big deal until you're doing it all day long.
Exactly. When you're asking an AI to rewrite 100 different files across an entire enterprise project, that compounding speed difference is just game-changing.
Right.
But Windsurf also brings 2 other massive differentiators to the table. First, unlike Cursor, which kind of forces you to use their specific editor, Windsurf functions as a plugin.
Oh, so it works anywhere.
It supports over 40 different development environments. So if you're a diehard user of JetBrains tools like IntelliJ or PyCharm, Windsurf snaps right into your existing workflow.
That's a huge selling point. And the second differentiator for Windsurf is this autonomous agent they call Cascade.
Cascade is brilliant.
The guide uses the example of setting up a complex Docker container environment. With a standard AI, it might, you know, write the configuration file, but you still have to run it, figure out why it crashed, and go back to the AI for help. So how does Cascade handle that differently?
So Cascade actually operates the machine. Instead of just generating text for you to copy and paste, Windsurf spins up a secure, sandboxed environment.
Oh, so it's executing the code itself.
Yes, it is essentially given virtual hands to type directly into your command line terminal. It writes the configuration file, runs the build command, and this is the crazy part. If the build crashes, Cascade reads the actual error log spitting out in the terminal, figures out what went wrong, and rewrites its own code until the green lights go on.
It just fixes its own mistakes on the fly.
It doesn't stop until the application successfully boots up.
And because it's generating all this so fast, the manual also mentions Windsurf's arena mode.
Yeah, arena mode is fascinating. Because Windsurf has so much raw speed, you can type a single prompt and have Windsurf run it through 3 different elite AI models simultaneously.
Wait, like a race?
Kind of. You might have GPT-5, Claude Opus 4, and Gemini Ultra 2 all tackle the same complex problem at the exact same time, and then it shows you the 3 different solutions side by side.
Oh, wow.
It is literally like walking into a room, asking 3 senior engineers how to architect a database, and getting 3 instant, fully coded opinions before you commit to a path.
That is just incredible.
Yeah.
But what does all this incredible power actually cost? Because the manual breaks down the pricing models, and the free tiers seem designed to absolutely capture the market.
Oh, they're heavily subsidizing adoption right now. Cursor currently offers 2,000 premium code completions a month entirely for free.
That's a lot.
And Windsurf counters that with 5,000 flow credits a month on their free tier. The source points out that thousands of independent developers are launching entire startup platforms without paying a single dime in software licensing.
That's wild. But we should probably mention GitHub Copilot, right? Mm-hmm. Since they kind of invented this space, do they even factor into this 2026 landscape?
Copilot is still a massive player for sure, but the manual notes they are serving a very different market now.
Really? How so?
Well, Copilot functions at roughly 100 tokens per second, so significantly slower, but it is deeply integrated into the enterprise ecosystem.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, if you are a massive bank or a healthcare company that requires strict SOC2 compliance and absolute data privacy guarantees within the Microsoft ecosystem, you are using Copilot.
Right, because security is everything for them.
Exactly. They aren't playing in the wild, ultra-fast, agentic sandbox of Cursor and Windsurf. They're selling safety and compliance to Fortune 500s.
Makes sense. So if I'm a listener, maybe I have some coding experience, maybe I'm a seasoned pro, and I want to start building today without spending any money, What is the final verdict? Like, which tool do I actually choose?
The manual draws a very clear line here. If you are a full-stack developer who loves VS Codes and the idea of having multiple background agents working on different parts of your app simultaneously appeals to you, download Cursor.
Okay, Cursor for the full-stack VS Code fans.
Yep. But if you work in JetBrains, if you're doing heavy back-end infrastructure or DevOps work, or if you simply crave absolute instantaneous speed, go with Windsurf.
Okay, so once you've picked your side and downloaded the tool, the obvious next step is figuring out how to actually direct these invisible employees.
Which is an art in itself.
Right. And the manual gives a literal step-by-step masterclass on how to build a full project using a comprehensive blog platform as the case study.
And this case study really illustrates the sheer force multiplier we're dealing with.
Definitely. So they outline the requirements for this platform, right?
Yeah.
It needs a modern Next.js front end, a PostgreSQL database, full secure authentication, a rich text editor for writing posts, nested comment threads, built-in SEO optimization, and a hidden admin dashboard to manage users.
That's a serious build.
It is. If a highly skilled traditional developer sat down to build that from scratch, typing every line, what are we looking at? Like 2 or 3 days?
Easily. I mean, you're looking at a minimum of 16 to 24 hours of highly focused, uninterrupted typing.
And according to the manual, how long did it take using these agentic AI tools?
40 minutes.
40 minutes. I mean, that is a 97% time saving.
It's hard to even wrap your head around.
It really is. The manual breaks down exactly how the author achieved this, and it introduces a concept that I think is the most crucial takeaway for our listeners. They call it professional prompt engineering. Because you cannot just open Windsurf and type, make me a cool blog.
No, definitely not. If you give a vague one-sentence blueprint to a general contractor, you are going to get a very weird, structurally unsound house.
Right. And the guide contrasts a bad prompt with a good prompt. And the difference is literally night and day. The bad prompt is just build an API.
Which tells AI nothing.
Exactly. But the good prompt is incredibly dense. It says, build a REST API using Express.js and TypeScript. Use Prisma ORM with PostgreSQL. Implement JWT authentication with refresh tokens. Include rate limiting capped at 100 requests per 15 minutes. And use Helmet for security headers.
That level of specificity is everything.
For anyone listening who isn't a developer, that prompt is basically the digital equivalent of telling a contractor exactly what grade of steel to use for the beams, the exact voltage for the electrical wiring, and the specific brand of deadbolts for the front door.
Yes.
You aren't just saying build a house.
Yo.
You are defining the exact physics of the building. English has essentially become a programming language, but you still absolutely need the mind of an engineer to speak it effectively.
That's spot on. You are engaging in system design. And that brings us to the core philosophy of this entire manual, which is the 70-30 rule.
Let's talk about that.
So the most successful professionals in 2026, they treat AI as a partner, not a replacement. You delegate the 70% to the AI. That's the repetitive tasks, the boilerplate code, the basic database connections, the initial testing scripts.
The grunt work.
Exactly. The AI is your tireless junior developer doing all the grunt work. The remaining 30% is where the human element is just irreplaceable.
Right, because the AI doesn't know your business goals.
Exactly. You are handling the high-level architecture, the complex performance optimizations, and the deeply specific business logic that an AI just can't possibly intuit. You are essentially directing the orchestra.
I love the idea of directing the orchestra, but I have to say, a 97% reduction in development time sounds a little too much like pure magic. And, you know, when things sound like magic, my alarm bells start ringing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's time to look under the hood and ask, what is broken here?
Yeah.
Because there has to be a catch.
And there is. The manual actually devotes an entire section to the limitations of agentic AI. And, I mean, it is brutally honest. These tools are incredibly powerful, but they require strict adult supervision.
So what's the biggest flaw?
The first major flaw is hallucinations. On highly complex requests, the AI will fake knowledge about 5 to 10% of the time.
Fake knowledge? Like it just makes things up?
Yes. It will confidently invent an API endpoint that simply does not exist or write syntax that looks beautiful but is entirely fabricated.
It's basically a confident liar.
Very confident. It also struggles with massive context limits. Like while a 200,000 token window is huge, if you drop an AI into a 10-year-old legacy enterprise code base with thousands of deeply intertwined files, it gets lost.
I'm sure it misses things.
Yeah, it might miss a crucial architectural pattern buried in a distant folder and just break the application.
Okay, but the limitation that genuinely terrified me was the security aspect.
Right, the security risks are real.
The manual explicitly states that AI agents will occasionally hard-code sensitive passwords right into plain text or completely miss basic input validation on forms.
Yeah, it happens.
If I am letting an autonomous agent build my backend and it hallucinates my security protocols, I mean, I could accidentally expose my entire user database to the public internet.
And that is a very real, very dangerous possibility, which is exactly why that 30% human element is completely non-negotiable.
So how do you prevent that?
The manual really emphasizes the code review checklist. The AI is going to generate fantastic structure, sure, but the human architect must step in and run automated security scanners. The guide specifically points to tools like Snyk or SonarKrube to catch vulnerabilities.
Yeah, to double check everything it does.
You do. And this introduces a totally new cognitive load for developers. Reading and verifying 10,000 lines of AI-generated code, it requires a very different kind of brain power than writing it from scratch.
I bet. It's like proofreading a massive, dense legal contract.
Exactly. If your attention slips, a critical vulnerability makes it right into production. You are the final safety net.
So the invisible employee is incredibly fast, but occasionally reckless. You have to trust, but rigorously verify.
Very rigorously.
Well, we have covered a massive amount of ground today in this deep dive. We've defined the power of agentic AI. We've explored the heavyweights like Cursor and Windsurf, learned how to treat prompt engineering as system design, and really faced the reality of those hallucinations and security risks.
That's a whole new world.
It is. So what is the ultimate takeaway for the listener here?
Simply put, we have officially entered the era of the architect. The fundamental truth of this 2026 guide is that these tools are unprecedented force multipliers. A single individual with a laptop can now generate the high-quality output of an entire 5-person development team. The barrier to entry for building complex, world-changing software has never been lower.
Which perfectly sets up the really staggering prediction at the very end of this manual.
Mm-hmm.
The author predicts that by Q2 of 2027, which is just a year from the publication of this guide, these AI tools will be sophisticated enough to build entire startups, from the initial concept all the way to full cloud deployment in a single day.
A single day to launch a company. Let that sink in.
It really leaves us with a profound, almost philosophical thought to chew on.
Oh, for sure.
Because if the technical barrier to building a massive software platform essentially drops to zero, I mean, if anyone can sit down at their desk, write a detailed blueprint in English, and have a fully functioning app built by dinner time, then the code itself is no longer the competitive advantage.
It's just a commodity.
Exactly. So in a world where the act of coding is basically free and instant, will deep domain expertise, a profound understanding of human psychology, and pure, unadulterated creativity become the only true currencies left in the tech world? You might not have to swing the hammer anymore, but you still have to know exactly what kind of house people actually want to live in.